Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance. Transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Nearly a century ago, the great Russian writer Anton Chekhov created the portrait of a woman who was typical of his time. Yet, because the story he created is universal, we've transplanted it from 19th century Russia to the city of San Francisco today. And now, Mary Jane Croft stars in Anton Chekhov's The Grasshopper.
You've been waiting here all night.
All night? What time is it?
A little after six. Didn't the night nurse tell you? I said there was no need for you to stay.
I couldn't go home until... How is he, Dr. Dietrich?
Still delirious. I sent for Dr. Blake.
Please, may I see him for just a minute?
In his present condition, he wouldn't know you, and since the disease is contagious...
Can't you tell me how serious it is? I mean, Stephen won't even talk to...
Stephen is in very bad shape. It's not only the encephalitis. It's his general condition. He's run down, underweight, and anemic. Being a doctor, he should have had more sense.
Then to do what?
For weeks I've been telling him to let up, not work so hard. He wouldn't listen. Drove himself to the point of exhaustion. He was so tired, so blind with fatigue, he made a stupid mistake.
Is it my fault? You sound as if you think I somehow caused Stephen's illness.
No, I'm quite aware that, medically speaking, the illness is caused by a virus.
Just the same, you blame me.
Ellen, why don't you go home if there's any change?
No, I'm staying here. I belong here with Stephen. I happen to love him. But you don't believe that, do you?
It's really not any of my business.
Well, I do. I love him with all my heart.
I've been up all night. I'd like to get a little rest before Blake arrives, so if you'll excuse me, Ellen.
I do love Stephen. No matter what anyone thinks, I've loved him since the first day we met. That terrible day. I knew Father was going to die, and I felt helpless and frightened. If it hadn't been for Stephen, he was so calm, so determined to save Father's life, and so heartsick when he failed. Then afterwards was a nightmare. Relatives I've never liked, some I'd never even met. Stephen was the only one who didn't seem like a stranger, because he was the only one who really understood.
Of course, it's more of a shock for you because you and your father were so close.
Daddy adored me. Gave me everything I asked for. Approved of everything I did. I suppose he spoiled me. I suppose he made being his child so wonderful I never wanted to grow up.
And now, suddenly, you have to.
How can I? I don't know how.
Like you learned to walk one step at a time.
Oh, you make it sound so easy. But... so confused. I'm all alone.
If you weren't alone, Ellen.
If I weren't?
If there was someone who loved you, someone you loved.
You mean if I had someone else? Someone like Daddy?
No. No, I mean a husband. Ellen?
Oh, just now. You look like him. Half frowning, half smiling.
Ellen.
Yes, Steve?
Ellen, will you marry me?
Suddenly, I felt safe again. No doubts, no fears. And I said yes, because I loved Stephen and I needed him. It's true he and I were very different. Before we met, our lives had been worlds apart. Medicine, that was all Stephen had ever known or cared about. While with me, so many things were important. Music, painting, the ballet, and anything and everything connected with art. But I knew that once we were married, I could make our two lives one. I could teach Stephen to love the things I loved. I could introduce him to all my friends.
Well, of course, Ellen, a party's a good idea, but why so many people? They'll be crammed in here like sardines.
Oh, darling, I have to invite them all. If I leave anyone out, Well, for one reason or another, every one of them thinks the world of me.
Why not? So do I.
Of course you do. But you're only my poor, hypnotized husband. While these people... Well, you take Henry Kern. Henry's a great poet, actually a genius. So it's hard to understand why he should take the slightest interest in me.
Simple. He's a man.
No, Stephen, it's not that at all. Believe it or not, Henry thinks I ought to write. He says he's sure I have extraordinary talent.
Have you done any writing?
No, not yet, but I shall. Except it's hard to decide. Robertson claims I ought to take up painting. George McPhee says I'm a born choreographer, wants me to collaborate with him. Max Burley says I'm... Stephen, the way you look. Darling, don't you know who any of them are?
From what you say, I suppose I should.
Oh, darling, they're all terribly well known, all frighteningly famous people.
Oh?
But, my darling, if you're nervous, don't be. They're all sweet and genuine and not at all patronizing. And I know they'll adore you. How can they help it?
So you're in medicine, Dr. Lindsay. Any particular branch?
Well, yes, I'm a pathologist.
Oh, what's that?
Well, pathology is the study of the causes of disease.
Oh.
At present, I'm on a research project at the university, isolating certain viruses
Isolating them? Why not obliterate them?
Well, of course, that's the purpose of research.
What does a virus look like, Doctor? Pretty ugly-looking beast?
Well, a virus isn't exactly a beast, and they're not easy to describe. A good many...
Looking for a new subject to paint, Robertson?
Yes, maybe. Or you might work up a surrealist ballet.
Yes.
You start out with a pale green princess virus.
Wonderful. And the villain is bilious blue with red-rimmed eyes and red claws.
There's a wicked magician virus who plots to have the princess, knowing she loves another.
A bold, black and gold polka dot warrior virus.
I'm afraid there aren't any viruses that quite match your
description. Stephen, my pet Burley's glass is empty. And that odd creature who came with Henry Kern, she's drinking sherry.
Oh, yes, I'd better get them refilled.
Oh, my sweet Stephen. Honestly, isn't he a dear?
If he makes our Ellen happy.
Oh, I'm mad with happiness.
Yes, but does he appreciate you, Ellen? Does he know what an incredible woman he's married?
Oh, I think to Stephen I'm only a helpless girl he happens to love.
If that's all, then he's a fool.
Oh, no, he's just terribly unworldly. But, Robertson, look at him. Use your painter's eyes.
Well, his face has a certain strength.
Strength, look. He has the head of a lion. No, wait, not now. His head's turned too far. The light's bad. But there. Look at his forehead now. Stephen, darling, we're talking about you. Come back.
Oh, you're talking about me?
About your lovely, noble forehead. Now look at it, Robertson. Don't you agree?
Very strong. Good bones.
You see, Stephen, darling, Robertson admires you, too. I knew he would. They adored him. That was all I needed to make my happiness complete. And how I worked to make Stephen happy, too, to bring color and beauty into his gray, drab life. The apartment I'd found had wonderful possibilities, but I had to slave before it had real charm. I combed the town for lamps, wallpaper, fabrics, grass cloth from the Philippines, handsome hand-woven casement fabric from Mexico. Beautiful things, such as Stephen had never known.
Well, I'm no expert, but what's wrong with weaving cloth on a machine?
Darling, I must teach you to use your eyes. See on this hand-woven fabric the irregularities. And look there, where the weaver made a mistake.
Is that good?
But it's the mistakes that give it character.
Mm-hmm. And make it cost so much.
Oh, I know. It's monstrously expensive.
I only thought if we could keep down our expenses, I could give up one day at the hospital, have more time for research.
And you shall give up one day, too, if you like.
Well, now? Do you really think...
Oh, no, not now. Not now, but soon. As soon as I've finished furnishing this room. Oh, and of course, my studio. There was only one thing wrong. Stephen was away so much of the time, either at the hospital or at the university lab, working hours on end at whatever it was he was doing. I missed him dreadfully, but I tried to keep busy and cheerful, shopping, visiting friends, going with George McPhee to watch the ballet rehearse, or sometimes stopping by Robertson's studio to work a little at my painting. Robertson, be a lamb. Come tell me what you think.
Oh. Oh.
Well?
Well, your foreground, it's chewed up. I take all this business out, make it one simple form, and this cloud, it is a cloud?
Yes.
Well, I'd gray it down. It glares. But on the whole...
Yes?
On the whole, it has a breathless, tentative quality. Ellen, it has you.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, I do think so. And I'll tell you something else. You have no right, no right whatsoever, to go on wasting your talent. It's time you got down to work, serious work. And I'm going to see to it that you do.
Naturally, Ellen, if you're sure you want to paint.
Oh, I do. But when it means I have to leave you for 6 long, unbearable weeks...
Leave?
Oh, I told you, Ferdinand de Moy is in the United States. Well, he's coming out to Carmel for the summer to teach.
Aren't there good teachers here?
Oh, darling, nobody who compares with de Moy, and I may never have another chance to study with him.
Well, if you feel you have to go...
Yes, I do. And yet I can scarcely bear to think of going. I'll miss you so.
I'll miss you, too.
Oh, will you, my darling? Will you think about me day and night? Will you write to me often?
Probably too often.
Oh, don't say that. You know I'll live for your letters. I'll read them over and over again. I'll probably quote them until I drive Robertson out of his mind.
Oh? Is Robertson going?
Oh, of course, didn't I say? It's his idea. And I can't even get into Des Moy's class unless Robertson asks him to take me. Oh, Stephen, it's going to be a wonderful experience.
We'll return to romance in just a moment. Now, here's Bing Crosby.
You know, folks, all these Yuletide decorations and vacant lots filled with colored trees make a guy wonder about what Christmas really means to the youngsters. So, being a curious kind of a guy, I up and decided to ask the kids. Now, here's the idea. I'd like youngsters of 12 and younger to write me letters on the subject, What Christmas Means to Me. And the child who writes the best letter will read it on our Christmas Sing with Bing program the night before Christmas. So mail your child's letter to me, Bing Crosby, CBS Radio, Hollywood, California, on or before December 15th, please.
In Carmel, how I worked. I had to. Robertson simply drove me. But Des Moy was a truly great teacher, a godlike inspiration. And day by day, Robertson said he could see the change in my work. Of course, I longed for Stephen. I thought of him constantly, wrote him long letters. And now and then, whenever I had a good excuse, I phoned. Yes? Oh. Well, yes, operator. Will you please keep trying? Can't still be at the hospital.
Ellen, are you awake?
Robertson, just a minute.
I saw your light. I hoped you hadn't gone to bed.
Oh, no. I've been trying all evening to reach Stephen, but he doesn't answer.
This late? Well, while the cat's away...
Oh, don't. You're cruel.
No, I wasn't suggesting another woman. But as I've told you, Ellen, the man's a fool. To him, women are merely collections of physiological data. The only thing that stirs his blood is the sight of some new kind of microbe scuttling under his microscope.
That's not true. It's not true at all.
Well, I'm sorry. After all, you ought to know. You going to try again?
Well, I don't know. It may be too late. I was going to ask him to send me something. A dress I want to wear to the dinner Des Moy is giving tomorrow.
Well, you couldn't possibly get it in time.
Well, I thought if Stephen packed it and took it out to the airport tonight.
Tonight? Tonight the last plane leaves there in about 20 minutes.
Oh. Well, then it's no use.
So forget it. Let's take a walk up the beach.
All right. I'll get my coat.
From the back when you walk, poetry.
All set? Let's go.
Now, which way? To the cypress grove?
Oh, yes. Tonight the view should really be something. That's the phone.
Don't go back.
But it might be Stephen.
So you worried about him. Let it be his turn to worry.
Oh. Full moon.
Yes, a full moon. And you.
I've never seen it before. Look at the moonlight on the water. You ever see anything like the color of the water just beyond those rocks?
As a matter of fact, yes. Your eyes.
Robert.
Stormy indigo blue.
Please.
Please what? Please don't tell you how beautiful you are. Please don't tell you how much I love you.
You must.
Why not?
Stephen.
Stephen. What is Stephen? Who is Stephen? An ordinary plodding man who's had more happiness married to you than he could possibly deserve. A man too dull-witted to realize his fantastic fortune.
Well, Stephen may not entirely understand me, but...
Because he can't. He's a clod, Ellen.
But still, he...
Oh, don't speak, Ellen. Listen to me. Life's such a short journey to the grave, and... Afterwards, there may be a heaven or a hell, but it won't be life. We're given only one chance, Ellen. And here you and I have met. You, a sensitive, creative, great woman, and I...
You're a great artist, Roberts.
Yes, you do know that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Then don't you see?
I'm afraid...
How I adore you.
But Stephen...
Stephen doesn't exist. Not now. Not tonight.
It was madness. But I couldn't help myself. The moonlight, the surf pounding over the rocks, the shadows of the cypress. Next day, I tried to cling to the spell. Tried to believe that Robertson had meant all he said. The day after. The day after. But slowly I knew I'd been a fool. With Robertson, it was only a game. At the moment we kissed, he was already tired of me.
Ellen, please. The weeping woman, that's all I need. Will you stop?
I can't.
If anyone has a reason to cry, it's I.
You? Why?
For dragging myself through a miserable summer in this phony town, running around with a herd of would-be artists.
What would-be artists? Who?
Who? Don't you really know, Ellen?
You said I have talent, that I should study.
Study. Study today, study tomorrow, study till doomsday. You'll never be a painter.
You only told me that because...
Does it matter why? Whatever reason I had, it was a mistake. A mistake that I'm paying for. Oh, will you stop?
I wish I were dead. Robertson, how can I face Stephen? How can I tell him?
Tell him what?
About you and me.
Don't be an idiot.
I have to tell him. He's good and kind. He loves me and trusts me. And I've betrayed him. I have to go back. I have to tell him. I have to ask him to forgive me. Stephen, are you here?
Is that you, Ellen?
Where are you?
You're back already? I thought it was next week.
Oh, Stephen, hold me. Hold me tight. I'm frightened. I should never have left you.
It's all right, Ellen. It's all right. Have you had dinner?
No, but I have to tell you something first, Stephen. Before I tell you, please promise me you'll forgive me. Promise me, Stephen.
Forgive?
Robertson lied to me. Confused me. I lost my head.
Ellen, not now. We'll talk later.
But I have to tell you.
Come. Have something to eat. Dr. Dietrich and I were just starting dinner.
Dr. Dietrich? I thought you were alone.
Dr. Dietrich, you've met Ellen.
Of course. Several times.
No, don't get up. I'll set another place. Ellen will join us.
Have to talk to you now. That's why I came back.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow, after we've had some sleep.
But I can't sleep, Stephen, unless I know.
I'm tired, Ellen. I've been up since 6. My head aches. I can't listen tonight. Now go to bed and we'll talk in the morning.
But aren't you coming to bed?
I think not.
Why, Stephen? Why?
I'll sleep in the study. On the couch.
Oh, please, Stephen, let me explain. I beg you.
Shh, Ellen, tomorrow. You can explain tomorrow.
Stephen, are you awake?
Ellen, open the door. Oh, don't come in. Stay there.
Why?
I'm not feeling well.
What is it? What's wrong?
I'm not sure. I told you last night I had a headache. And I'm afraid it might...
What is it?
At the lab yesterday, I was careless. There was a tube of virus, encephalitis, brain fever.
Stephen!
I was tired and absent-minded. I wasn't cautious.
Oh.
Call Dr. Dietrich. Tell him to hurry. Now, don't, Ellen. Everything will be all right.
Everything will be all right. Yes, it has to be. Dr. Dietrich.
He's dying.
Dying? No.
He's dying because of you. You with your clothes and your pictures
no.
and your lace.
No.
All summer I watched him die because of you. Working too hard, forgetting to eat, worrying because you might be lonely.
Take me to him. Let me see him.
Yes, when I've told you what you've killed. A great man, Mrs. Lindsay. A brilliant man.
Steve.
Dr. Stephen Lindsay, a rare, devoted scientist, sensitive, searching, at the beginning of a career that would have put the whole world in debt to him.
Stephen, I didn't know.
How could you recognize it, Mrs. Lindsay? You were too busy chasing around with a flock of dilettantes, you and your kind. You're like so many grasshoppers, shrilling in the sun, dazzled by your own noise and self-importance. How could you recognize greatness, which is humble, which is so real it has no need to advertise itself? I'm not a young man. I've achieved some small success in my own life, but... Stephen Lindsay, what gifts he had. What hopes he awakened in me and everyone who worked beside him.
Stephen! Stephen, don't die. I was wrong. It was a mistake. Stephen, stay with me. Don't leave me alone.
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug. The Grasshopper, based on a short story by Anton Chekhov, was adapted for romance by Sylvia Richards and starred Mary Jane Croft as Ellen, with Hans Conried as Robertson and Vic Perrin as Stephen. Others in the cast were Herb Butterfield and Edgar Berrier. Music is supervised by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly, inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.